This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This afternoon, the district manager of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, Pat Scripp. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle, for having me.
Well, obviously, all you have to do is look at the weather and realize things are heating up. We've already had a few fires around the area, and we have sure not had much rain at all.
No, this summer we're going into a deficit again, fourth year in a row. We're a little over 11 inches behind rainfall for normal this time of year. We're actually seeing parts of our county in drought. West side is in a moderate, and east side is in a severe drought condition. It's not setting up well for us.
Now, normally Roseburg, and of course it depends on where you are in the Umpqua Valley, but right around town we get 32, 33 inches of rain. So when you're down 11 inches, you're basically down a third.
Yeah, it's left quite a mark, the rain deficit on our fuels. We're watching our fire indices in the already reaching moderate and even high. Right now, as we look into beginning June, they're in the moderate condition, more like early to mid-July.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not setting up well for us.
And what about the long-range forecast from the weather folks?
Well, you know, they're not being favorable. It's above normal temperatures and below normal precip for the month of July and August, and large fire, you know, occurrences are predicted for those months.
Now, and that's not really what you wanted to hear.
No, it's been quite a decade.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it. And of course, last year, you know, that was about as bad as we thought it could get. And what have we had so far in terms of how many fires we've had?
So we are at 35 fires for the calendar year, and we've burned over 205 acres. This is well above our average. We're averaging about 11 fires and 68 acres for this time of the year. But we're not alone. We're seeing the statewide numbers of fires are up, acres are up.
Well, and I know that the southwest region down in Jackson and Josephine County were some of those lands. They went into fire season, I think, a couple of weeks ago, which tells me that it's probably worse down there.
Yeah, so you get some breaking news announced today that this coming Friday, the 28th of May, we will be going into fire season here in the Douglas District. That will begin at 12:01 on the 28th. And at that time, restrictions will be going into effect for both the public and industrial operations on forest land here in Douglas.
So how does that compare? I mean, I know that fire season can start in kind of a wide area, but how does that compare to normal?
So it's not unprecedented that we're going into fire season this early. Our average is, I think, about June 10th. Is when we normally go into fire season. We've gone in as early as May 15th in the last 7-8 years.
So here we are, not even done with the school year yet or graduations or things like that, and we're already in fire season.
Yeah, we wanted to message clearly that the deficit of rain has left a mark. You know, right now we have this little bit of green up going on. We're starting to see our annual grasses turn, those south aspects. Once we get to the sunshine, the conditions can change rapidly, and we'll be in a moderate condition here within the next week where, you know, we will have some resistance to control on some of these fires.
And I know for some of the areas kind of south of Roseburg, there's a section I pass by every so often, and I haven't been out there for a couple of weeks, but I know the last time I looked, it was already starting to look less green, and here it was mid-May at that point.
Yeah, so like I said, the annual grasses, they flush, they go through the growing cycle, and then they'll die out, and they'll drop their seeds. Those south aspects and those shallow soils, they've already turned, And so we're seeing that's catching some people off guard. And the thatches of last year's grass, you know, a lot of our fires or summer fires have been escape debris burns where people thought there was enough green to retard the spread of fire and they were untrailed. I left them, went to work, and, you know, we're chasing them in the afternoon on those low humidity, high temperature days like are forecasted for next week.
And even for people like me who live right in town and have a very, you know, small lot, I have been running my sprinkler system intermittently. I don't have it on a regular schedule right now, but I noticed that yesterday that, you know, I was already seeing a change there.
Yeah, so whether you're a rancher or make your living off the land or a home gardener, that is truly evident this year. We're seeing the black mud, you know, that we have in the valley here already cracks have started, which we don't see till July. And it those larger fuels that take thousands of hours to absorb and reach an equilibrium with their environment, they're in that 17% to 18% range, which, you know, I can't remember fire season when we started them and they're that low. So that this, it's telling us that once we lose our fine fuel moistures, fires will, the resistance to control is really going to be dictated by those heavier fuels that are below normal or at an abnormal. And that's just a reflection of the drought we're seeing over the last 4 years.
So when we begin fire season on Friday, what about the public use restrictions? What do we start out with?
So we're going to be going into a low adjective rating, and then we're also going to have a industrial fire precaution level of 1 to regulate our industrial activities, such as logging, and those will change throughout the season as the fire severity increases. For our general public, we put in public use restrictions where we regulate the use of mowers and chainsaws, driving off-road, those type of activities. And they're also kind of, they're pinned to our adjective ratings of low, moderate, and high. So as we, you know, in the low, people could mow their dry grass, but as we go into moderate, we have a time shut off, and then go into high, we shut the mowing off completely. Not irrigated lawns, but that dry grass. So there's a lot of work that still could get done out there right now.
So what is this early fire season, what does that mean in terms of burn permits?
So we are not going to be issuing burn permits. That's a collective decision between DFPA and the multiple rural fire departments around the county. You know, we believe that we want to clearly message that we don't want to be chasing permits. We don't have the resources or manpower to issue them. It doesn't mean that later on the season, if conditions change, we might reevaluate that as we get into the fall conditions where the season's a real short window in the day. But the spring and going into the summer, absolutely no permits will be issued for debris burns.
How common is that? How often do you have to do that?
It occasionally occurs. You know, it's just probably err on the side of caution. You know, we're really sensitive to the fact that, you know, our community had a tremendous hit last year with Archie Fire, and people are really sensitive throughout Oregon. And we wanted to message clearly that, you know, there's a time to burn as and use it as a viable tool in the summer months is probably not good business.
And then what about the impact for industrial operators, people that are out there? I mean, we're starting at low, but it's just going to go up from there.
Yeah, so we issue throughout the summer, we issue waivers with different industrial activities based on the fire danger. And we give each of those sites an inspection, evaluate, make sure they're fire safe. And we actually require additional fire tools and equipment and watches if issues waivers are issued. But for the industrial operators, they're familiar with the system. It served us well. And it still allows them plenty of opportunities to get the work done that we all need.
All right, going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Pat Scripp, the district manager for the Douglas Forest Protective Association. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 on tomorrow's program. Juliet Flinches of Blue Zones Project Umpqua will give you an update on some of the upcoming Blue Zones activities as we head towards the summer months. Pat Scripp, District Manager of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, here with us this afternoon. You got the news that fire season starts on Friday. I'm curious, before we go back through some more of this data, how did you ever pick this, working and what you're doing now, as a career?
Well, it started out as a young age. My father was part of an incident management team and worked for the National Forest. And he would disappear every summer. And I thought, man, that guy's getting paid to go camping. So I kind of grew up around it. He'd drag me to guard schools, and I caught the fire bug pretty young. At that time, it was smoke chasers, you know, and hang out in lookouts, hang out at the retardant base in Clown Falls. And he was head of fire staff there on the Wyneema. And so it was one of those passions that I just kept pursuing seasonally till I found a full-time niche here at the DFPA back in 92.
Wow, so that's a long time.
This, I've completed 37 fire seasons. This will be my 38th coming up.
Wow, and yet all of the intensity of what's going on probably makes it tougher.
It is a changing game. You know, I kind of think we've drew the short straw. We're living in an era of fire. It's definitely not the same fire seasons and fire intensity as it was when I began. You know, I remember in 87 they said it was once in a lifetime, and then in 2002 they said it was once in a lifetime, and then 13, and then 15, and then 17, and on and on. And then last September, you know, we had the Archie fire out of Glide, and in 2 days, more acres were burned in those 2 days than the 100-year history of DFPA.
Say that again.
In 2 days on the Archie Creek fire, over 100,000 acres burned, and that is more acres that have burnt in the 100-year history of DFPA.
Man, that is just startling to hear it like that. Yeah. I mean, people remember the intensity of that time. A lot of folks, even if you live in Roseburg or Sutherland or Myrtle Creek, a lot of folks have made trips up there, and everybody comes back, you know, whether they did it early on or even recently, comes back kind of in shock.
Yeah, it is. You know, all September, people ask me how I was doing, and I told them I feel pretty blessed. I'm blessed that we live in a community with such strong leadership and community support, and we were blessed that we didn't lose anybody on that fire. It occurred at a time when people were awake and had situational awareness. There's other parts of the state that were not as fortunate, and our community really pulled together in a time of need. It was pretty impressive what all the agencies, the private owners, and the homeowners did to get through that time.
So with fire season starting on Friday, for people, whether they have big areas of land or even folks right in town, you know, Kyle Reed has talked a lot about defensible space. Does that mean you've got to stop working on things like that?
No, not at all. You know, there's ample work to be done out there to prepare your home, whether it's cleaning the roof and gutters of the fir and pine needles, or mowing the lawn, limbing up trees. A lot of that could be done early morning hours. You know, it could be done all day right now as we go into season. And moving flammable materials away from the home, such as your fuel tanks or gas storage, wood piles, those type of items you could do year-round. You know, but it's good to just remember that in a conflagration, there's not enough engines and personnel to go around to protect all the homes. So anything you do pre-fire is good business and time well spent.
One of the things I see around the community, even right in town, is the number of homes where people have, you know, they go out and cut firewood, and it's right up against the house or right up next to the garage. There's no defensible space. You couldn't put a mouse in there.
Yeah, so if that's the only place for the wood, it needs to be shielded in some way, covered, so if a fire occurs, a firebrand doesn't land on that. Wood piles are great receptor fuels, and that's an intensity of and concentration of fuel. That riding against a home, it's not a good practice.
Now, what are we seeing out in the Archie Creek area now? Have we had any of the fires so far out that area?
So we've made several runs out there. We know in a fire that size, and we're seeing it, is that there's holdover heats, whether there's stump holes or snags. And so we've made several responses out there. We also each we're mapping those smokes through IR. We've had a couple flights done on that. We get calls by passing motorists, and we evaluate each smoke for the risk and threat of that moving across the landscape. But there's a pretty low risk that even a holdover is going to move anywhere because the fines are gone. And we'll look at them. Is it near a containment line, or is it near an active operation that's doing some post-fire salvage? And take action as necessary. But we anticipate throughout the summer we're going to see different smokes popping up there.
A number of shifts have taken place, obviously, in how you fight fire, how you watch for fire. Went from all these towers with folks out in the wilderness to a lot of cameras, but I'm guessing that not all of those made it through the fires.
Yeah, so we did lose Mount Scott Lookout. That's a historical lookout for us. We actually have that on our patches in the side of our vehicles. That was lost during the Archie Creek. We were fortunate to put up a temporary tower, self-standing with some using some of the infrastructure out there. So we have a camera overlooking the fire area and the glide area again, and it's back in our network. We've also added a new camera in our network that puts us up to 12 cameras. It's on Chilicoot, which is at far northeastern corner of our district and overlooks part of the National Forest and the north side of the Archie Creek Fire. That's a fantastic location for us. High lightning area, high activity area for industrial operations. So and pretty remote. Very pleased to have that operational this year.
So for your staffing, I think most people are familiar that DFPA has one size of crew during much of the year, but when we get into fire season here, you're pulling in a lot of people. Have you been able to find everybody you need so far?
Like all industries, we're challenged with the limited labor pool out there. So we do have some openings. We're accepting applications for our firefighters. This is boots on the ground, whether assigned to a small hand crew or squad or one of our engines. These are seasonal positions. They dovetail real well with college students, and we provide all the training and necessary and the PPE. We're reaching out. It's harder this year to recruit because you can't go to the high school, you can't go to the college. You know, those job fairs are absent, and so we're leveraging everything we can in social media and word of mouth. And but we will be able to staff up this year our full complement of resources. I'm confident of that, but encourage people that are looking for a challenge to seek us out at dfpa.net.
So along with the people, what kind of equipment do you guys have?
So historically, and again, we're going to be running it this year, each day of the summer, we have 20 engines spread out across Douglas District. We have two dozers loaded, another one in reserve. We have a 120-person hand crew, one tender. We have a fixed-wing aircraft that serves as both a platform for recon and smoke detection, as well as the platform for our air attack group supervisor when we have a fire starting to grow and we order additional resources. We have a 60-day contract helicopter out of Myrtle Creek. And then we also support two severity helicopters for the Oregon Department of Forestry and coordinate and staff the ground people for those. And we also maintain a single-engine air tanker reload base in Roseburg. Now, if you asked me that 30 years ago, I would have laughed. But we've, out of that one base, we've probably moved a couple hundred thousand gallons of product over the last couple of years.
Wow. And as you go through this, I mean, you talked about how many years that you've been involved in this. Are you running into more and more people retiring?
Well, we always see change is inevitable. This year, we're going to be challenged. We're losing one of our senior managers. Just give a shout out to Rick Harvey. Rick Harvey has announced his retirement. Rick has been with the association for 44 years and has served this district. He also was a member of one of Oregon's incident management teams and served as a operations section chief. Those 44 years of knowledge and experience will truly be missed in our team. But I'm very encouraged by the young folks that we have coming up. Real educated, real eager, real humble. They are just an amazing group.
Well, fire season starting Friday. We'll keep you updated. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you again for having me.
Pat Scripp, District Manager of the Douglas Forest Protective Association on Inside Douglas County.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.